Welcome to Sci Podcast episode 32, Monza Testing. Has there been any Formula One news this week?
Sort of tenuously related, maybe.
Right. Is that what we're going to be talking about today?
Well, there's all sorts of news in the world, and some of it is kind of related to the main Formula One players. Not so much about cars and stuff.
Flavio Briatore has bought a football team.
Well, it's not actually been confirmed yet, has it? It's been recommended to the shareholders.
Yeah.
And who's he bought it with?
He and Bernie Eccleston have set up a company called Sarita Capital Investment Incorporated. And basically they've both bought some shares in Queen's Park Rangers.
Who are they?
Football team.
Oh, right. I know nothing about football.
Me neither.
Okay.
I don't think they're very good.
There is an important point of the story, and that guy who might be interested in buying a Formula One team is on the board with Flav, isn't he?
Alejandro Agag or something like that.
That's the guy. That's the guy. Lots of money. Spanish. And friends, long-term friends, with both Flav and Bernie, who were obviously involved in QPR.
He's potentially interested in ProDrive or Super Aguri, isn't he?
Yeah. GrandPrix.com actually have the inside scoop on this. At first, they said it might be Super Aguri. Now, they're kind of leaning towards the ProDrive deal.
Well, ProDrive would be the better option, given that they're linked with McLaren, who are really good.
And Super Aguri linked with Honda.
Not so good.
Right.
And also, McLaren have got a Spanish driver, haven't they?
Pedro. Yeah, that could please the guy. Also, GrandPrix.com suggests that he may be involved in the company who bought the Spanish TV rights before Alonso was in the sport, and then sold them on at a much higher price once Flavio had brought Alonso in. So a second Spanish driver, it wouldn't hurt their cause too much.
He's obviously not stupid. what he's doing.
Who are you talking about now? Flavio, Bernie, or this guy Agag?
All of them. They all know what they're doing. There's a big higher plan somewhere.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Spyker have suspended their chief designer, John McWilliam.
They're all at it this year, aren't they?
Well, he's been there since it was Jordan, but now his position is currently being investigated by the team.
Ooh.
That's all Colin Collis would say about it. So presumably that's because they failed the crash test.
Well, didn't Mike say that was down to a batch error?
He said it was a dodgy batch of materials.
It seems a bit harsh to take your technical director out of the team just because of that.
Unless he was lying to us.
Ooh.
And it was something a bit more serious. I mean, the car did pass the second time.
Yes, it has
so
passed.
So they fixed
now.
It. Yeah. And it turned up at the Monza test, but didn't seem to do much better.
Well, they were maybe, a tenth quicker? And they haven't got the best out of the car. I mean, it's the first time it's hit the track, so they've got to tweak it. And it must be a significant improvement over what they had.
It can only get better from what they had, I suppose. And Vijay Mallya is going to be taking control of Spyker. He and Michael Moll, the guy who resigned.
Mm-hmm, yep.
They've made an 18 million euro bid, and it's been accepted by the board.
Okay. And they're going to spend, the next 30 days doing due diligence, just to make sure the company's okay.
Yeah. You think they would know that already, though, really?
I think you're going to have to do it when you're talking about those kind of money.
So does that mean they're going to change their name again?
I'm not sure they can, actually. Isn't there a limit to the amount of times a team can change their name? Unless they get a special dispensation from every single team on the grid, and I think Mr. Eccleston. In which case they probably could make a change.
Well, why do the teams care? They wouldn't have a problem if they changed their name, would they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's this thing going on with Spyker and Toro Rosso, and I guess Toro Rosso aren't just going to bend over backwards to help them, and it could be kind of, could be a bit of leverage, a bit of political power.
It's like, I'll drop my lawsuit against you if you let me change my name.
I didn't say that.
Ah, something like that.
You may have inferred that. I didn't say that.
So Spyker have now offloaded the F1 part of the business, and they'll be using the money to sort out the manufacturing side of things because they're a bit bankrupt.
I think not quite, but I think that was the plan. Apparently, they're now under investigation for some reporting errors in their accounts, which things don't quite add up, some things have been said that maybe shouldn't have been said. So they may not be out of the woods yet, but in terms of Formula One, that kind of history.
With Mallya getting involved, it increases the likelihood of there being an Indian race.
It does.
And he's very pro-Indian being in Formula One, isn't he? He said Team India is on the F1 grid.
Team India?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Hasn't he got that confused with that other motorsport event?
A1GP.
Team India?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Eccleston doesn't try to convince the guy, you know, to put a bit of money, a bit of backing, and maybe some sponsorship behind an Indian GP. So, yeah, that's almost a certainty now, isn't it?
Yeah, he also said, I would like to say it would give me immense pleasure to see an Indian driver in an Indian Formula One car.
Oh, so that's Narain sorted then for the next couple of years?
Yes, and Ralf Schumacher's also in with a shot there because they're like best friends forever.
Oh, they have been?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good... Oh, no. Oh, really? So that,
He's still going to be around. He's never going to quit, is he?
Oh, lordy, you're right. Yeah, they are best mates. And also, it might mean a bit of a problem for Toyota, who currently have Kingfisher sponsorship, one of Malay's companies. Maybe he'll want to move that across the garage or two, along with Ralf.
Yeah, but, you know, if they get rid of Ralf, that's got to be a good day for Toyota.
Well, yeah, but money they lose, they'll save on his contract.
Exactly. Hamilton's been moaning and saying he wounds to leave the country because he's being hounded by the press. Boo-hoo. I think it's because he's earning too much money.
Is he heading to Switzerland?
Yeah, or look out for him at a Monaco mooring soon. Actually, having said that, he's just bought a boat from Sunseeker. After being loaned one at Monaco, he really liked it, put in an order. We know someone at Sunseeker.
We do.
We can get inside information.
Can we?
We can try.
Can we see what it's going to be?
Yeah, you know, like how many berths it has and stuff. Interesting stuff like that. Anyway, the tyre blowout Hamilton suffered in Turkey may actually have been his own fault.
Ooh.
It's a charmingly named phenomenon, chunking.
Chunking?
Yeah, which is great. It's where too much rubber gathers on the tyre and causes lots of problems like we saw. It looks like this could have been because of excess understeer, which is actually how Hamilton likes his car. It's a little bit embarrassing if the guy leading the championship can't even set up his own car properly.
Quite. It would be humiliating if that turned out to be true, and there have been rumours that Alonso is hiding information and not sharing information with Lewis. And so maybe he's having to set up his own car and maybe he's struggling a little bit.
A commenter on F1 Fanatic, Ali Adogan, I do apologise if I've said that wrong, came up with Fernando Alonso's to-do list for Italy.
What was that?
Number one, set up car number one.
Uh-huh.
Two, set up car number two.
Right.
Three, keep quiet.
That's just brilliant. Yes.
Sounds about right, I think.
That sounds about right.
There's a bit of turmoil over in the MotoGP camps.
MotoGP?
Yeah, and whilst this is...
I thought this was Formula One.
Yeah, this is an F1 podcast, but it's sort of, kind of, almost relevant.
Okay.
There's the talk is all about tyres because there are complaints that the racing has not been as close recently as it has been in previous years. Michelin and Bridgestone supply the tyres, and rumours are flying that Michelin could pull out.
Ooh.
Bridgestone's MotoGP tyre chief Hiroshi Yamada said, "We don't want Michelin to leave. We don't like the idea of a sole supplier."
He said what?
He said, "They don't like the idea of a sole supplier."
Bridgestone said that.
Yeah, which I think is weird because you'd think they'd like, you know, to have all those contracts in place.
Well,
all that extra money.
Not if you take the example that's happened in Formula One this year where nobody is talking about Bridgestone this year. Last year, all about Bridgestone, Michelin, who's going to win the tyre war, you know, all that kind of stuff. This year, it's about a white stripe.
Yeah.
I guess they don't want that to happen in MotoGP.
Softs or super softs.
Say that quote to me again.
He said, "We don't want Michelin to leave. We don't like the idea of a sole supplier."
Huh.
In other MotoGP news, they will beat Formula One to hold the first championship night race.
That's going to please Formula One management. Apparently, it's going to be on March the 9th in Qatar.
But they've got a bit of a different philosophy to F1 because they're using a company called Masco Lighting. And yep. They did the night race test at Indy, which wasn't very good.
No, they do the NASCAR lighting as well, I think.
But F1 are using Bernie's high-tech test track at Paul Ricard to test out light balloons from a company called Airstar. They're really cool.
We saw them in a television program, Making of Doctor Who, because they're used in film sets a lot and television production studios. They're kind of like... They're like the moon, really. If they're floating up in the sky, they're about, what, 150 feet up or something?
Yeah.
And they give an even spread of light, not too much shadows like you get from floodlights. It's quite futuristic.
Personally, I think the Airstar thing is going to be better because we've seen the Musco lighting in action and it wasn't very good. but we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, so we're back in the balloons.
Yes. The head of aerodynamics has resigned from Honda. Mariano Alperin-Bruvera.
Who?
Left the team.
Never heard of him.
Shut up.
Who is he?
He left the team and joined BMW, who recently lost aerodynamicist John Owen to Honda. So basically they've swapped. Nick Fry is not that bothered because he's got both Owen and Loic Bijouix to fill the position. They do still need a technical director, though. And there's a spare one who's, you know, not getting on with his boss very well.
Oh, his ex-boss?
Yeah.
The red jumper-wearing Frenchman.
Yes.
Talking of Honda, Ted's got some news.
Ted Kravitz?
Yeah.
You talk like he's your best friend.
Well, he might as well be.
Why don't you just get a jingle?
Oh, I've got one.
No.
Do you want to hear it?
No.
It could be a regular feature of the show. Reading out Ted's column.
Oh, my God.
Listen to this. Isn't that great?
What's Ted got to say for himself then?
Oh, talking about Honda. No one actually clarified this except for the man. So, you know, hats off to him. And it's about the engine failure, the dual engine failure of both Hondas at the last race. And apparently, it's due to scuffing of the bore.
What?
That's what he said.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, bad lubrication.
Right.
And it's caused by high ambient temperatures. And low humidity, which is basically what happened in Turkey. And also what happened back in Bahrain when they had the same problem. And because of engine homologation, I'm not sure there's much they can do about it. In fact, apart from just have a rain dance.
Well, we all pray for rain, don't we?
Yeah.
Make it more exciting.
It could be an ongoing problem for them. Keep an eye out for it.
And on the subject of people swapping teams, Frank Dernie has joined Toyota. We saw him at GP Live, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
Yep, just after he left Williams as special projects engineer. And now at Toyota, he's going to be senior advisor. I do like these names that don't mean anything.
Can I be special director projects of assistant engineering at podcasts?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It'd look great on a business card.
It would, but it doesn't mean anything.
No.
All it means is that he's a very clever man.
There you go. Man with intelligence. Why didn't you just say that?
So everyone has been testing at Monza this week, haven't they?
They have to, because Monza's quite a unique track in that it's the only low downforce, high-speed track left on the calendar. And teams have to make sure that nobody crashes and almost kills himself due to, you know, component failure or stuff. So they test this week, and then they take a week off, and then they have the race there next week. That gives them time to figure out all the problems so that, you know, the race can go ahead as planned.
They've already modified a bit of the circuit, haven't they, due to the GPDA?
Yeah. Oh, they wield so much power.
Well, they make such a fuss about it. Like, oh, we want this change, we want this change. And all it is changing gravel to asphalt.
Yes.
You know, it's not that big a deal.
They are quite pleased with it, though, aren't they?
Everyone's like, oh, it's the best thing ever.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, it might make a difference. If a car rolls, it tends to dig in the gravel. The roll hoop tends to kind of sink in and could injure a driver. And because it's asphalt, it shouldn't do that. And it can also slow cars down if they, you know, whereas gravel, they'd skip over it, they can kind of grip onto it. So it might make a difference in the race, but...
Well, I read some news on Autosport, I think, and Trilli was saying, actually, I'm really glad I went off the track today to test out the new asphalt.
No way.
Not sure that's
no
what you should be doing.
Did he say? I'm really pleased I've crashed. Jesus.
Renault ran the 2008 ECU for the first time.
Not the first team to do it, because apparently no. Ferrari have already been up and done that.
But for the first time for them.
Yeah.
I don't think they really liked it that much.
No. The blog had a lot of interesting things to say this week, didn't it?
The Renault blog.
Yeah. Sorry, not our blog. Sorry.
Our blog's not interesting.
Nothing much going on there. No, the Renault blog, the official Renault blog, had all sorts of insight into what they're doing with the ECU and how they get on with it. They weren't too complimentary about the information they have to divulge to McLaren.
Well, presumably, if you're given a piece of equipment, you have to change your car to fix it.
Yep.
But you're not allowed. They're not allowed to change the engine, are they?
Well, that's the thing. The ECU handles engine mapping. And as engines are fixed due to the FIA, you can't do much with them. So the only other thing you can do is request that the ECU be changed to match your engine, which means you have to give lots and lots of information to the person building the ECU.
And that's McLaren.
Yeah, it also slows down the process quite considerably, because if you need something fixed, or if you have to request it to be fixed, and then they have to come back to you, and it's obviously... You know, they may or may not be as helpful as you'd like them to be, or as quick as you'd like them to be. This problem's going to get bigger and bigger, don't you think?
Well, I kind of thought it was Microsoft that were in charge, but it's not, is it? It's
They're
McLaren.
Not doing anything of the sort. It's Microsoft only in marketing name. What is interesting is and this is completely speculation and totally, you know, all rumour, and we have no evidence whatsoever, but I heard last week that Renault might be assisting Ferrari in their fight against McLaren in the courts. Some people are suggesting, obviously, if the name McLaren is brought into disrepute, then Alonso's free to maybe return to Renault. I'm wondering if it's not more to do with the ECU. If they could discredit McLaren in any way, they wouldn't have to run this ECU next year. All speculation and rumour, though. Allegedly, I think, is the word I need to use there.
I think that's enough disclaimers. We know you're just making it up.
Okay. Food for thought, though.
I liked that they were running the stuff for next year and were still quicker than Honda.
You don't know that Honda weren't running the stuff for next year too, because they don't have an official blog. They might have been trying their very bestest, though, and still failing to live up to any expectations.
It rained quite a bit, so they extended the test by a day.
Rained quite a bit?
Yeah.
The garage was sort of flooded.
Just a bit of rain.
If that happens at the race, it's going to be one hell of an event.
Honda's rain dance must have worked.
A bit early, perhaps.
McLaren topped all 4 days, so we know who to look out for.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Unless Ferrari was sandbagging for the whole week. They could have been.
Which I wouldn't put it past them.
They're usually pretty good on this circuit, so you don't want to discount them too early. But maybe they're putting all their efforts into a court case.
You're listening to SidePodcast. Don't forget to check out our newest videos at sidepodcast.tv. The Italian Grand Prix takes place at Monza on the 9th of September. The track is 3.6 miles long, which is 53 laps, and the previous three winners were Michael Schumacher, Montoya and Barrichello.
Well, whatever happens in this race, it won't be as interesting as last year's, will it?
What happened last year?
Michael Schumacher retired.
Oh, yeah.
You can't forget that day, can you?
Well, I obviously did.
You just needed a gentle nudge of reminding.
That's right.
Kubica, he did well last year. He got on the podium.
Mm.
That was quite impressive. Sadly, overshadowed by the big guy. It'll be interesting to see if the BMWs, you know, they've obviously made a step forward this year. Hopefully, they could repeat that feat again.
And it was a good day last year because once we knew he was going, it was like, who's going to take his place? And all these drivers switching around places and seats. So maybe something cool like that will happen.
Yeah, it's kind of the start of the 2007 season this time last year. So maybe everything will kick off again. Let's wait and see.
We've bought some new stuff for our videos, haven't we?
Bought you a new toy. What have you got?
It's really
there?
Cool. Look.
Again, not working so well on the audio podcast.
Oh, it's a clapper board. Much fun. I feel like I'm properly in the movies.
We got you a green screen.
Yeah, whatever. Clapperboard?
Yes.
Now that is cool.
Yes. The video for the Italian preview has just gone up and it looks noticeably better, doesn't it, as a result of our investment?
I think so.
Much sharper and more clearly defined.
And I'm wearing a suit.
And we really have pushed the boat out this time. But you're just happy with your clapperboard, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Just the simple things. Again, we'll probably take pictures of the green screen of you with a clapperboard. We'll put them on the Enhanced Podcast and we'll put them on Flickr so you can see what we're up to. And do check out the video because it looks excellent, don't you think?
Even if we do say so ourselves.
Absolutely.
That's it for this week. Join us next week when we'll be doing our usual race coverage.
There might actually be some Formula One news by then.
We might be talking about Formula One.
Excellent.